Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. Sell order assessment fee not included. A limited number of ETFs are subject to a transaction-based service fee of $100. See full list at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Moving on to the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. You can see him right there on X and on YouTube at WI Sports Radio as we live stream this bad boy. Jack Stern, BrewerFanatic.com. Follow him on Twitter at @ByJackStern. Jack, how are we doing today, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. Baseball's getting a little bit closer every day, so I got something to look forward to now.
Baseball is getting closer a little bit every day. And speaking of baseball getting closer a little bit every day, I don't know if you heard the Ken Rosenthal report or not earlier today on Foul Territory, but let me play it for you.
While all the big market teams seem to be in on him, there are small Freddie market Peralta. Teams as well that can certainly afford Freddie Peralta at $8 million and are at least in contact with the Brewers. I would expect that if he is traded, and I do believe he will be traded, I said that on Fair Territory yesterday, I believe, then they will get in excess of what they acquired for Corbin Burnes. And remember, that was Joey Ortiz, who was their starting shortstop last year, admittedly not a good offensive player. DL Hall, a lefty with still some promise, and a draft pick that has not panned out for them just yet. But the reason Peralta is even more attractive than Burnes, he might not be quite as accomplished, of course, but he's making half as much money as Burnes was. And at the end of the season, if you like him, you can hit him with a qualifying offer and then get one of the prospects back as draft pick compensation. So maybe he won't get as much as Burnes. Maybe I overstated that, but I can see where he could bring them even more. And the price of the salary, the cost, is the reason for that. He's so much cheaper, and you do get the pick back. So that was the case with Burnes, too, but I just think that Freddie Peralta, if he goes, he's going to go for a nice haul for the Brewers.
Jack Stern of Brewer Fanatic, in your mind, can you justify moving on from Freddie Peralta and then in the next breath telling everybody you're competing to try to win a division?
Depends on when you get back for him, right? I think if you get back multiple pieces who are going to plug right into helping your 2026 roster win games, I think you can justify it. Now, to kind of go back to what Ken was talking about there in that report, when he talked about how Freddie would fetch a bigger return than what the Brewers got for Corbin Burnes, I think that needs to be the case to be able to say, yes, this is helping us for 2026. Corbin Burnes, the Brewers got two players back who you can kind of have a debate on how impactful they've been. I think Freddie Peralta, you need to be looking for a better return. Burnes got you two guys who were kind of right on the outskirts of the top 100 prospects in baseball at the time that they were prospects. I think Freddie, you got to shoot a little higher. You got to look for two guys who are probably in that top 50, maybe a starter who can plug right into that rotation right now to take Freddie's spot in the rotation. Probably a guy who you can plug into regular playing time or semi-regular playing time in that lineup somewhere. Then I would say probably another prospect or two who fits nicely into your system, and then maybe some kind of draft pick compensation on top of that. I think you have to set the bar pretty high for Freddie Peralta, and knowing how much he means to the Brewers and having been in that clubhouse and seeing how impactful he is there, I would expect that they have a much higher price tag on him than they did when Corbin Burnes was in a similar situation approaching free agency.
I don't want him moved. I want everything to stay the same, and let's take another run at this bad boy and see what happens. Now, having said that, if you're telling me I'm getting a starting pitcher back to plug into the rotation for Freddie Peralta, then why in the world is that team making a trade for Freddie Peralta and then trying to sell me on the fact that this guy's going to come and replace for Peralta, even though they just traded for Peralta? Like, that doesn't make any sense. They're deeper in the starting rotation than most teams in Major League Baseball as far as what they have. I mean, right now they're, what, 7-8 deep probably in that starting rotation with viable arms that could start in rotations around Major League Baseball at this point. So if I'm trading Freddie Peralta, and I know I sound like a broken record, you listened to me all of last year, it has to be for a power bat somewhere in that lineup that can come in and play somebody that's going to hit 25 or 30 home runs and help that offense. If I'm not getting that, I'm not interested in trading Freddie Peralta at this point.
I think you got to think about it in terms of what are the Brewers just going to get in terms of overall value in return? I think you got to think of it a little more broadly as opposed to we need to plug X need with this move right here, because whenever the Brewers are making these kinds of trades, it's because they feel that by doing that, when you add up what they're going to get in 2026 from those pieces and beyond, they think that they're going to come out more favorably than the team that's maybe taking on Freddie Peralta just for 2026, because they think Freddie Peralta makes them better for 2026 and they'll figure out the rest later. So I think to get the best possible return to fit both now and moving forward, I think you just need to look at what's out there and you need to look at each of these pieces that teams are offering and say, okay, how is this guy going to fit not only right now, but moving forward, and what other options are available to us as well? So maybe they do move Freddie Peralta and you don't get the power bat, but do the Brewers think that they either have someone else in the pipeline who can fill that role? Do they think that there's another move they can make that gets them the power bat? I think you've heard me talk about it, Sparky. I'm very firmly on the train of they need more power. That's still my biggest complaint with this team, and I think no question it's a thing they're missing. They're very, very well rounded in every other facet of the game, but if you're going to get a good power bat, maybe you're better off just not tying that to a Freddie Peralta trade. Maybe you keep your options open and say, okay, maybe Freddie isn't going to get us this power bat.
Jack Stern, 1 year for Suarez, and Andrew Wagner better run for the hills. That's all I have to say. That gets Suarez on a one-year deal. He better run for cover from me, because I will be just losing my mind if something like that's going to happen. They're not going to do it. He's not going to sign a one-year deal. But I was just having some fun. Jack Stern, BrewFanatic.com. Follow him on Twitter, @ByJackStern. Let's talk about these coaching changes. You had a great piece up that people can go read right now at BrewFanatic.com. An excellent website. Lots of great writers on that website to go check out. We went over the coaching changes yesterday. I wasn't thinking in depth like you were as we were going over them. I first want to start off with the one coach that no matter who it is will become the most hated man on that staff every year, and that is the third base coach. Nobody ever likes the third base coach. People didn't like Ed Cedar. People don't like Jason Lane. And now Matt Erickson is going to get his chance to try and win people over at the same point. Your thoughts, was Jason Lane that bad that they had to move him out of third base?
No, I think you're going to be frustrated with whoever's over there. And I think a lot of third base coaches are kind of going off the same sort of scouting information and knowing the outfielder, knowing the guy who's running, knowing all that kind of stuff. It's a percentage play when you're deciding, you know, are you going to hold a guy up at third base? Are you going to send him home? Pat Murphy has spoken very, very highly of Jason Lane over the past couple of years that he's been on this coaching staff. And I think what people need to realize too is Jason Lane's not getting fired from being the third base coach. He got a promotion. He's actually going to be even more involved in the team's strategic side of game planning and all that kind of stuff. He's going to be taking on more responsibilities.
Yeah,
he's not,
but realistically, Jack, that's great. But realistically, if we don't see him, but nobody looks at it as a promotion. You aren't at third base anymore. Somebody else is. That's who we see. He'll be in a front office or traveling around the country or doing whatever he is, and that's fine. They keep him in the organization. I wanted to ask you, when we talk about this coaching staff, Matt Erickson goes to third base, okay, fine. The idea of Pat Murphy not having a bench coach, which he said he wasn't going to do when they decided to move Ricky Weeks with inside the organization. Now the staff comes out, he still doesn't have a bench coach. Does that worry you at all or no?
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Well, when you talk about the way that this staff is going to be constructed, they said a lot of different guys are going to kind of combine to take on the bench coach roles. And to come back to Jason Lane, like offense and strategy coordinator, he's still going to be in the dugout. He's probably going to be doing
the bench coach
a
stuff.
Lot of work kind of in that kind of role. I think that just with the way baseball coaching staffs are these days, they're bigger than they used to be. The roles are way more specific than they used to be. I think what they're doing here is I think they're just trying to put guys into more of these specific specialized roles where they can do what they do best, and then they all kind of work together and bring each of those things to the table, and that kind of combines to make up all of these responsibilities that you might have seen previously assigned to one guy. So I'm not really worried about the way that they're doing this. I think as long as you have the right people researching the right things, game planning the right things, the right people on the bases making the base coach decisions, if you have the right people in the right situations and in the right kind of capacities, I don't really care what you call them. I don't care what their titles are. I don't care how many guys are on your staff. If you have smart guys doing the right jobs, I think things are going to work out for you.
Let's talk about first base. Spencer Allen, you can tell us who Spencer Allen is. He is the new first base coach now for the Milwaukee Brewers. How big of a deal is that change at first base?
So that one's kind of interesting to me because, you know, to not beat around the bush, the Brewers sucked at stealing bases last year compared to how
that's
they
correct.
Used to steal bases.
And the guy that was in charge went to Chicago to go help the Cubs.
Yes. So they had some change over there. And look, I don't know if Julio Bourbon was the guy to blame there, but coincidentally or not, they got a new first base coach and their ability to steal second base got way worse. I asked Pat Murphy about it a couple times. He always attributed it to being more hesitant with their leads on first, being more hesitant with their first step on first base, being able to read the pitcher. That's stuff that Quentin Berry was known for. Really, really awesome. Good at giving guys pointers on that stuff and kind of just tapping guys on the shoulder when they got to first base and saying, hey, here's what I'm noticing with this pitcher. Here's what you can look for. Read this, and you know you can take off. It seemed like that was not there last year. So Bourbon's going to be moving into more of kind of a fluid front office-y kind of role where he's going to be helping out at a couple levels across the organization, and he's still going to be doing base running stuff. So it doesn't seem like the Brewers have lost confidence in his ability to coach that kind of stuff in some capacity. But when there's a change like this coming off of how they got worse in that department, it makes me wonder or speculate, maybe they just think Spencer Allen, who has more of a college background, has a base running background, maybe they just think he's going to be a better messenger for some of these guys than the way things went last year. But I think either way, one of his top priorities needs to be, we got to get better on first base. And this is a team that, especially if they're not going to slug, they got to be really good at stealing second base to create extra bases. So it's something that has to get better. It's something the Brewers said they're going to continue to focus on. Now they have a new guy in that first base coach's box, and I'm curious to see if that's going to lead to some positive changes there.
Jack Stern, BrewerFanatic.com, great piece up right now talking about all the coaching changes and what he reads into it of why they did different things. Follow him on X by Jack Stern or joining us here on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Okay, let's talk about hitting coaches. I know I shouldn't be bothered by this, but it drives me nuts. Why the hell do they need three hitting coaches for? And this has been going on for several years. I mean, back in the day, there's one hitting coach. I went down to the ballpark for pregame. I talked to the hitting coach. Now you got three dudes all in charge of hitting. I think the common saying is too many chefs in the kitchen. Can that be the case when you got three hitting coaches?
I think it can. I think you need to be very careful about which responsibilities each of those guys have, how they're working together, how they feel about different things. And just to kind of shed some light on the way that the three hitting coaches thing has worked in the past, just to look at last year, for example, Al LaBeouf, who is also moving to more of a front office kind of role, he was the lead hitting coach. He was the one who, you know, when I was at the ballpark, he was the one who was kind of outside the cage a lot, talking to a lot of guys. Eric Tyson was out there too. He's going to be the lead guy now. He was an assistant hitting coach. Connor Dawson, he was a little bit more behind the scenes. He was doing a lot of the game planning stuff with hitters, leading the hitters meetings, scouting reports, all that kind of stuff. So I think if you look at it that way, where different guys are doing different aspects of it, I think that can work. I just think you need to be careful with, you can't have all these guys who are trying to do the exact same job. And if they have competing messages,
correct.
Yes, it can throw guys for a loop. So I do think that's a valid concern. You got to be very, very careful with the way that these guys are doing their jobs. And that kind of comes back to what I said before of, I don't care how many guys you have. I don't even care so much what their official titles are. I just care that you have the everybody knows what their job is and they're able to do that job well in a way where they all make each other better. And I'm very curious to see how they kind of delegate which of these still three hitting coaches, but a different group of three, which guy is doing what.
Daniel Vogelbach. It's got a lot of buzz, man. People are excited Vogelbach's back in the organization. I'm excited Vogelbach's back in the organization. That's wonderful. But there has got to be some type of transition, I would think, that this dude's going to go through coming off of the playing field straight into a hitting coaching role, because I don't think he's coached before. And it's a little bit different being a coach versus being a player. Some guys are great at it. Some guys aren't. I mean, we've seen great baseball players be horrible as coaches. We've seen average to below average baseball players be awesome at coaching or being managers. So you really don't know what you're going to get at the end of the day. Your thoughts on bringing Vogelbach back?
Well, I think when you kind of alluded to, it's not so much how good you were as a player, it's how good of a communicator you are. That's going to be the biggest thing for being a coach. And the fact that Vogelbach is already pretty quickly climbing the coaching ranks, I mean, he got a job in Pittsburgh as a coach last year,
yep,
immediately after retiring. And when he gets a job like that immediately, and then the next year he's an assistant hitting coach already, that's the kind of stuff that at least tells me that he's probably a pretty good communicator and guys resonate pretty well with what he's talking about. And that's really all you can look for in a guy who is going to be coaching professional baseball, because all these guys know the game, they played it. And in his case too, I wonder if there's some benefit to having a younger voice in the room, a guy who was hitting in modern baseball as recently as 2 or 3 years ago. Maybe there are just certain experiences or certain things that he can share with these guys that's going to be a little bit more relatable. So I'm really curious to see, number one, how he does it. And number two, like, where exactly does he fit in on this staff? We talked about, you know, kind of different roles for different guys. Vogelbach was a guy who was known for his swing decisions as a hitter. The Brewers like to coach swing decisions. Maybe that's kind of his area of it that they put him into. I don't know. I'm just speculating. But it seems like he's a guy who has already gotten some pretty good reviews on his ability to just communicate with guys as a coach. And I'm very curious to see if that's what we see play out next year, or this year, I should say.
There he is, Jack Stern, BrewerFanatic.com. Great stuff over there. A lot of great writers over at BrewerFanatic.com. Follow him on Twitter at @ByJackStern. I don't know about everybody else, but there are several of us on this staff of radio hosts that are jonesing for some Brewers baseball right now. Like, it's, let's go. I mean, I want spring training. I want baseball. I want to get going again. The way the season ended was kind of deflating, but you beat the Cubs, so it made it feel a little bit better. But you just feel like, man, this team, another year older for Jackson Chariot, another year of Terang. Like, it just feels like this could be that year they make a big run.
I think they're in a spot where they're bringing so many guys back from one year to the next that we haven't always seen that, but it's happening now. And like, these guys are all at a point in their career trajectories where they should all be getting better. They should be getting better every year, not worse. So I think they're in a spot where they should feel pretty good about the core that they've got. It's just a matter of, you know, how do you put it all together? How do you plug some holes around the edges? And then, like we talked about, like, how does this coaching staff impact these guys as well?
Jack Stern, BrewFanatic.com. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Yeah, you got it, Sparky.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Introducing Fidelity Trader Plus. With customizable tools and charts you can access across all your devices. Try our most powerful trading platform yet at Fidelity.com/Trader Plus. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE, SIPC.
Hey, Sal.
Hank, what's going on? We haven't worked a case in years.
I just bought my car at Carvana, and it was so easy. Too easy.
Think something's up?
You tell me. They got thousands of options.
Mm-hmm.
Found a great car at a great price.
Uh-huh.
And it got delivered the next day.
It sounds like Carvana just makes it easy to buy your car, Hank.
Yeah, you're right. Case closed.
Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.